Well, I know who's ready to get busy, right? Okay. Now, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to give you a couple seconds. Go ahead and flip through the handout you just got, because I don't want you to necessarily look at it too much while I'm talking. You can feel free to take notes. You can kind of get a brief overview. What you see on the front page is essentially what I'm going to go over. On the second page, you're seeing my kind of the fun little quotes. People say, oh, can you repeat that? Well, everything that you're going to ask me to repeat is going to be written in there. So those are the cool quotes you're going to want to know. I also have an email program. An email program I have my customers send out for me to get and gain extra referrals. And so every one of those emails I send out is also attached as well. So you guys can see those. Use them when you get home. You can type them back up. Use your own information in there. And yeah, I guess that's it. I'm pretty much done. So just kidding. So now there's going to be some different things. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah. Do I need the mic? Probably. Okay. Do you guys need some more handouts? All right, here's how I'm going to do this. We have until about 2:25, so we have just under an hour. We have about 50 minutes, and then you guys have to go off to your next breakout you want to go to. So here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk for about 30 to maybe 40 minutes, and then I'm going to leave the last, 10 to 15 minutes for you guys to shoot questions at me, asking me whatever you want. If I don't answer it, make sure you write it down and then, ask me when we're done. So, all right, let's talk about referrals. Now, what I'm excited about giving this message is I feel this is like the 21st century version of getting referrals. Okay, so who's been in the business longer than 3 years? Raise your hand. All right, cool. So we've got a couple. For those of you who don't know, I'm assuming everybody in here knows that at one time or another, before the YES program existed, what we used to do is we would go into customers' homes and we would do the same demonstration and then we would get referrals, but we would have clients just write down a bunch of people's names and we would actually avoid having them talk to their friends and we would put it on ourselves to call the client to set the appointment. Now, does that work? Yeah, absolutely. There's probably even some of you doing that same thing in the room, and the cat's out of the bag. It's no surprise that people are doing that. But what I found, can you guys close that door real quick? What I found is that to be efficient, whether it's in this business, whether it's in something else, there's common denominators in what allows someone to get referrals, and also what allows someone to be efficient and effective what they do. And the YES program shouldn't be viewed as a detriment to you getting more appointments. What it should be viewed at is as a way of weeding out all those bad phone calls. Because one thing that's interesting is my call to set ratio is 1 to 5, including people who don't answer the phone. So that means every 5 phone calls I make, I set at least 1 appointment. And so that's, better than my average before. When I was on the just regular referral program, it usually was about 1 to 10, 1 to 15. And if you look at that, that's cutting your phone time in half. And that's pretty cool. So all you really need to do is just get a hold of the people. So I'm going to go over with you a couple of things that are going to be things you might have heard before, but I might be saying them in a different way. So like John Berghoff said with mastery, mastery is really just knowing the nuts and bolts of something at a deeper level. And when you really get referrals and you really understand them, it's your business is so much easier to run, when you have those unlimited people to call. We hear that stuff all the time, like, oh, what would it be like if you had so many people to call, you can't even call them all, right? That sounds cool, but it actually does exist. It exists for a lot of the CSPs, a lot of the FSMs in this room and that are in this company. So the first thing that I wrote on the top of my handout is people give referrals through desire, not obligation. People give referrals through desire, not obligation. What does that mean? That means that at the end of the appointment, we ask for referrals. We ask our customers to help us out, to introduce us to a few people. And, sometimes it can come across as like an obligatory, like, oh, I have to, or else, I don't have a job anymore. And that's not how it should be viewed. It just should be viewed as this is how we do business. And when you go into an appointment and you can create that desire for your client to want to give you referrals, to want to help you out, not only will you get a lot of names written down, but they will want to talk to those people. Not only will they want to talk to those people, they'll want to talk to people who aren't even on that list. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what it really means to know what it means to get referrals, what it means to know how to do this. So one thing I kind of wanted to distinguish is because there's a lot of different verbiage out there, You know, there's CGAs, there's yeses, there's referrals, there's whatever. And essentially, they're all the same thing. Someone that you can talk to that says it's okay for you to come over, right? That's all it is. And I think there's been a confusion going around on what it means to get a yes. And the term CGA is something that means customer-generated appointment, which essentially is like, you know, when you are in the customer's home, they make the call, and then you set the appointment right there. That's a CGA. I'll be honest, those are pretty slim for what I do. I don't do that very often. So here's the mentality I want you to go into looking at referrals as. All we're looking for is our customers to introduce us to their friends. That's it. People look at yeses as like, well, they have to say yes to me coming over for an appointment, or they have to say yes to buy Cutco, or there's all these things that they think it has to be. But really all it is just giving an okay for you to give them a call. That's what it means to get a yes. And I think that's where we have a really big challenge, because it's hard for the, we have to go through us getting the names down. The customer has to specifically talk to the individual. When they talk to the individual, then that person has to say yes, and then we have to get that yes, and then we have to, you know, call that customer eventually. You know, that adds like 5 steps in the mix versus, you know, just getting the referrals and then just making the phone call. You guys following so far? So what can we do to just allow our customers to want to introduce us to their friends? Well, you know, one of the things I wrote down there is, are you worth talking about? And I submit that at the end of this conference, you better well be worth something to talk about, all right? How great was John Berghoff's talk last night? You know, I've been coaching with John Berghoff for 1.5 years, and I haven't even heard any of that stuff. That was great. So now you have an idea what it means to have a purpose, what it means to go in your customer's home and to know why you're there. You know, for some of us, when we're students, we just work because, well, that's what you do, right? You work because you have to pay the bills. But when you go in and you have a purpose and you can share that and you can connect with your clients, that makes a big difference in how they view you. Because most people are viewed really as, you know, salespeople. And we're not just salespeople. I don't want you to go in your customer's homes as salespeople. I want you to go in as friends. The thing I like to say is you want to be like that nephew or that niece they never had but they wish they always did. You want to go and try and be that. How can you be that individual? How would you talk to that person? When you come into the house, would you just come in and, you know, say, where's the kitchen? Or would you come in and visit? Would you ask, hey, how's everything going? How's your day going? Blah, blah. Would you ask to take your shoes off before you come in the house? Would you show respect? Because when you show respect, they show respect back to you. So let's check out the handout real quick. Creating desire. You value. I wrote you value there because there's something about you that has an essence that creates value for your customers. And how do we do that? We do that by connecting with the customer. We've already talked about that. When you go in, you start to connect with them. And we've all heard those things, you know, talk about the people, places, plants, pictures, pets, anything else? You find something to talk about, right? And that can be very surface, you know. You get to talk to them on a surface level. But what about following through in that? What about when you hear someone talk about something, notice when they get that twinkle in their eye. Notice what they get excited about. Notice when they talk about their kids, how proud they are, or about the soccer games, or all these different things, and use that. Follow through on that. So tell me about that. So what does that mean? So how often do you guys have to do that every week? Wow, you must really like that. That's really cool. You know, ask engaging questions that require more of a response from them than just, yes, no, black, that was when we were in Hawaii. And that's it, right? Dog's name is Muffy. Ask engaging questions that get them involved in a dialogue, right? You guys are all professionals. You can use that tool, and you can take it anywhere. Take that anywhere. You go to the school, talk to your teachers. I can't tell you how many fees I got out of when I was in college. Just being able to go in and connect with people. So take the time. Take the time to connect with your customers. They're going to appreciate it. Share your purpose. Share your purpose with your customers. We talked about this briefly. What do you do to kind of give the customers a vision of who you are? You know, you kind of spent some time, you know, you've asked about them, and then what do they want to know? They want to know about you, right? They want to know what is you're all about. They want to know why you're here, what school you're going to, why are you going to that school? They want to know these things. And so find, what are you working for? Think about that. And when you find a specific answer to that, you share it with your customers. You share it with passion and enthusiasm. You know, the analogy I heard one time given by a friend is when you share your goals, remember a tea kettle. And you guys think when a tea kettle, when it's warming up and it's getting all this, you know, energy inside of it, it's all bubbling inside, and then it just starts to, like, you know, peep at the top. You know, you can just tell it just wants to explode, but it's just very controlled enthusiasm. And when you can share with your customers your goals in that fashion, they can tell you're excited about it in a genuine way. Because sometimes we think, like, when we go and we talk to people, we have to be, you know, so excited, and it can weird people out, to be honest. So when you go in and you be genuine with your clients, and they will see character in that. And something that I do, you know, who's doing service calls so far? Okay, so you guys are doing service calls and demos still. You know, one of the phrases that I heard a lot that kind of helped encompass for my customers what I am is I would go in and I would just talk to them about my goals, the scholarship programs and all these things. And then I would just stop and I'd say, so long story short, Mrs. Jones, that's why I'm still in your house showing you kitchen knives. And then they're like, and then they kind of laugh, and but they get it. And that's, they know why you're there. When you have a purpose, your customers can see that. All right. Next point, social evidence. Social evidence, this is now where we're getting into kind of planting the seeds. What it means, you guys have all heard that phrase, right? How do you plant seeds for referrals? You basically essentially talk about them throughout the appointment. And how do you do that? How do you do that in a normal way that's comfortable for people to hear? You know, you don't want to be that person who's just talking about, like, you know, oh, I live in Santa Barbara, Oprah lives there too. Yeah, you know, that doesn't mean anything. It's just me trying to sound cool. But when you talk about referrals in a way that allows them to see social evidence, it makes a lot of sense. So, like, for example, you know, I'm on an appointment. I'll give you an example. I was doing a service call in Glendora, California. It happened to be, you know, in a pretty nice area. I was about 2 referrals into this neighborhood, which means I got a home show service call. I got 1 lead from that service call, and I happened to be on the second lead. And I'm talking to this lady, and I'm like, oh, yeah, so I'm just over at Julie's house, and I happened to remember that there was another customer I knew in the city. How do I know if they know him? I don't. But I'm like, hey, do you happen to know Julie Smith? And she's like, Julie Smith? I went to high school with Julie Smith. And I'm like, oh, no way, yeah. No, she got some Cutco from me. Actually, I saw her a couple of months ago. And, you know, I think I saw a couple of other friends from that she works with over at the vet hospital. And they're like, she's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, we're practically related. You know, and then she laughs. But you see what's happening? That nephew, they never knew they had, all right? You're part of the family. What can you do to dig your roots in? You know, it's funny because when that happens and you start creating those relationships and you go to people's houses, you know, people know you. You know, they talk about you. The Cutco guy. You know, I remember I went over to this lady's house to sharpen her knives this last December for Christmas. Got a quick little Christmas order out of it. And I'm talking to her and she's like, oh, did you go see Janet and Sue yet? Oh, they're waiting for you. I told them you were coming over to sharpen my knives. They were talking about me. I didn't tell them to, but they did because I had some value to them. You know, what value do you bring to your customers? And you know what? You don't have to buy them stuff. You don't have to do anything specifically to give them anything. But just by being a good person, a good young person, that speaks worlds to them. You know, most of the, you know, they're worried about who their kids are going to be hanging out with when they go off to college. They're wishing their kids hung out with you. Right? So what kind of value are you bringing? So learn how to name drop. Learn how to talk to your customers about other people that they know. Right? That's going to be a great way to develop future referrals. Another way, how to plant seeds. You know, you guys might have heard this before. When you're talking about the company, you're talking about Cutco. You know, one of the nice things, Mrs. Jones, is that Cutco knife has never been sold in stores, and you cannot buy it on TV. The only way you can get it is by someone recommending it to you. You know, kind of like how Julie had me call you? Yeah, just like that. It's pretty cool. Which is nice, because seriously, going door to door with knives, just kind of weird. You know, and then they laugh. But again, they're kind of following how this works. All right? Are you guys kind of seeing how it's just different? The appointment, just the mindset on the appointment is just different, right? It's no longer about the knives, it's about you. And that's something you can realize. You guys have found out people just buy this stuff, right? Are you guys remember you're in your fast start, right? You weren't good and people still bought. You find out that there's an average of people who consistently buy anyways. And so what if, instead of going to every appointment, concerning yourself with the sale, concerning yourself with who else can I meet? Who else can I, I treat it as like a people interview. I'm selling me. I am the product. I am the John Israel product line, and I come in one size and shape. And it is their, and it is, you know, the sale is happening when they sell me to their friends, and they want to do that, all right? So bring the value. All right. The next thing is creating opportunities. How do we create opportunities for our customers to give us referrals? Now, this is kind of fast forwarding to the very end of the appointment, right? The end of the appointment, we ask for referrals, right? You know, have you guys ever had that sometimes where at the end of the appointment, they just like say, oh, didn't you need me to like give you some referrals, I think? Or even better, any of you already had them, handwritten them, and just slide them over the table? Those are the best, right? Now, those don't happen a lot, but we love when they do happen. So what can you do to kind of increase the likelihood of that happening? Well, you know, this whole culture that we're talking about, that's going to create it. But when it comes to the end of the appointment and asking your customer for leads, you know, there's a lot of different approaches that you guys have out there. And, you know, I'm not going to say anyone is better. The most important thing is that you know the approach. And I am not going to say memorize your approach, because I'm sure your manager has already said that to you 5 times this week before you even came to the conference. And you don't need to hear that. At least I hope not. So memorize your approach, though, if you haven't done that. So when you have your approach, though, it needs to come out like you. You know, Mrs. Jones, there's one more really important part. Here's what can really help me out. I pay every time I show cut code. I can only show people. Give me permission to call. So I need you to clean everything up. Just going to jot down 7 to 10 people you can call. Not necessarily anybody you think about. Just anybody interested in taking a look. So here's a pen and notebook. Just going to jot down as many as you can. Thanks. Appreciate your help. Don't sound like that. All right? It's like, oh, Mrs. Jones, there's one more way you can help me out. Remember how earlier I was telling you I get paid every time I show Cutco? Well, the only people that I see are just whoever I get recommended to. So what I was going to have you do while I'm cleaning everything up is just go and jot down like 7 to 10 people you can call. Not really anybody you think would be interested in buying. Just, you know, nice people like you to take a look. So here you go. That's it. That's my approach. That's John Israel talking right there. So you can do the same approach, but just say it like you. You know, and that's all that matters. Is it's not weird. You know, sometimes we get to that appointment, that part of the appointment, we did a great demo, we go into the close, we do a great close, we sell a homemaker, and then we get to referrals, and we get a little, you know, weird because we didn't get referrals very well previous to this. But that's okay. Just because you don't have the experience at this point doesn't mean you won't get those results, all right? Just do the things that you need to. Do what we're talking about. You know, just talk like yourself. Be yourself with your customers, and they're going to be comfortable introducing you, right? That's what we're talking about, getting introductions. All right, so moving on, they've written some people down. Now, occasionally, the customer will throw an objection out there. I don't know, it happens once in a blue moon, right? No, it always happens. People always have little objections, but I'll tell you, those earlier things we talked about, when you do those right and you do those with purpose, it doesn't happen nearly as often, all right? Those objections don't happen nearly as often. All right. Objections, down to the bottom. Oh, I don't do that. Oh, don't you love that? What do you mean you don't do that? Yeah, you do. You don't say that, right? But you know they do. And here's what's going on, guys. They're just concerned. And you have to understand that and just empathize with that and just think about it. If you were with a salesperson, really, if you were with a salesperson and they ask you for referrals, what would you want to do? You want to help him, but you'd want to talk to him first. That's just how our culture has shifted. You know, earlier in a talk, I heard someone talking about, you know, the world is just different, and we don't just do things on a whim now. There's so much marketing, and there's so many sales people just kind of aggressively going out there. And what do you do to differentiate yourself? And we know we're different, but our customers don't know that. So we have to clarify. And sometimes you have to say it a second or third time. So I just be like, I understand, Mrs. Jones. So you're just not comfortable writing down people's names and numbers for me now, or writing down people's names and numbers. And she's like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, would you rather talk to them first? Yeah, perfect. Well, just so you know, I mean, I won't be talking to anyone until you make sure it's okay. So I was just going to have you jot down a few first names so I can check with you later. Is that okay? And they're like, oh, well, okay, that's fine. You know, because that's all we need, right? We're just getting them comfortable doing that. Because sometimes you get that customer that is like the negasaurus on referrals, right? They're just like, rah, no, I do not do that. Don't worry about it, okay? 1 in 10, remember that. 1 in 10 are people who are never going to give you referrals. Blink and then, you know, move on. Don't worry about it. But even with those people, all I try to do is I just try to leave the door open for the possibility of referrals in the future. because, you know, they're just kind of coming from a place of like, well, I don't want to, you know, make my friends feel any weird or anything. I don't want to send salespeople to their house. Well, like, that's fine. Well, you know, what if they were at a party and their friends were talking about how crappy their knives were and they're standing right next to them? Are they not going to give you are they not going to tell them they should get Cutco? Well, they might not if they don't have that idea. They don't think of you when it comes to that. So what I'd say to those people, I'm just like, hey, you know, Mrs. Jones, I totally understand if you're not comfortable with that now. Just so you know, there's a ton of Cutco out there. And there are a lot of people looking to buy Cutco. But since we don't advertise, you know, they won't ever find out unless someone introduces it to them. So if you happen to be talking to some friends sometime, or, you know, you happen to be at a friend's house, you notice they have Cutco, would you do me a huge favor and just shoot me an email, send me a quick, let me, you know, give me a call. Just let me know if that happens, because you'd be surprised. A lot of your friends probably already have this stuff. And then now, I mean, what are they going to say to that? No. You'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. Now their mind is open. They're open to that possibility. And I'll tell you, that happened to a customer of mine who was a no sale and a no referrals. And she called me back like 3 weeks later and she's like, hey, you know what? I was actually just over at a friend's house and yeah, she had Cutco. It was like 50 years old. It's crazy. Anyways, here's her number. She wants you to give her a call. Would that have happened if I didn't go through that, you know, just that being able to tell her that, creating that as a possibility for her? Probably not. Probably not, because I didn't let her know it was important. And if your customers don't realize and they don't understand that this is how you do business, that this is important to you, and if you blow it off as quickly as they blew you off, then that's how they're going to view it. But if when they say the objection and you acknowledge it and you re-ask again, they get the idea that this is actually something that's important to you. You know, some of you guys have gotten to see my CGA talk from last year. If you didn't, you know, one of the things that I had was a pretty cool story. I saw this customer, and it was a service call. It was a brand new customer, you know, or it was the first time she'd ever had her Cutco serviced. I went out to go sharpen her knives. She bought $130. And I asked for referrals, and she was kind of like that kind of nag lady. She wasn't super excited about it. And she said, "None, you know, that's okay. I'm sure you can find other people to call. You know, you called me." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, you know, I understand. But I mean, just so you know, I happen to get a hold of you out of the blue. It's not something normal that, you know," she was a pink sheet service call. You guys kind of know what that is. And I'm like, you know, just that's only a very small portion of my business. The only people I ever meet is just who I'm introduced to. So, you know, honestly, I know if you're not comfortable writing down everyone's names and like their phone numbers and everything, if you just want to jot down a couple of people's names, hey, and you want to talk to them first, hey, that's totally cool with me. And she's like, all right, grabs her address book, wrote down 7 people. Oh, hey, she threw her phone numbers down too. Funny about that. And then I said, well, hey, tell you what, this is something I learned from Joe Utley. You know, you guys are all, you know, understand what the YES program is. We want our customers to call everybody and like get the YES. Well, here's something I found that's okay, is I had the customer call and I said, you know what? It's funny. A lot of your friends might not be around because it's like, you know, 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. If you want to just call them all right now and leave a message letting them know my name, I'm a nice kid and I'm going to give them a call, then that's totally cool. And I'll give you a free ice cream scoop. And she's like, okay. And boom. And then, you know, what happened is when I called those referrals out of those 7 people she wrote down, I set up with 4 of them. And every one of them, when I called, I said, hey, this is John Israel. I don't think we met, but your friend Julie, I think she left a message for you yesterday. Remember that? Okay, cool. Yeah, this is me. And then that's okay. You guys excited about that? That's okay. I think just the fact that knowing that that's okay for you to make calls to those people is mind-blowing, because how many of you have that stack of referrals that you just can't call, right? Because, you, oh, well, they didn't talk to him first. Huh. Right? Well, you know, you want to be courteous and make sure that you're getting that introduction. And even think of it now, you know, business people, I get to work with a lot of realtors and I get to work with a lot of business professionals. And when they introduce me to someone, they send an email to that person and they copy me on it. And they just say, hey, oh, just, you know, I met this great young guy. I totally think you should meet him anyway. He's probably going to give you a call in a couple days. So when I call that person, it's like, hey, you know, I was just talking to your friend Julie. I think she emailed you about me. Yeah. Okay, cool. Boom. 21st century way of getting referrals. This is how business is done. So nice. All right, if you guys even notice, I'm not even talking much about getting yeses on the spot. Because you can do that. I highly encourage that. But you know what? There's so many other avenues that you can utilize to get those yeses, to get the permission. And again, we're just trying to get permission to call. That's it. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and fast forward a little bit to the emails. Let's go and talk about emails. I'm going to kind of walk through this with you because I think that when you get to actually read it from a broader perspective than, you know, Mrs. Jones would just read a nice email, you get the points that are being made in here and you see the verbiage and why it's important. So, hey, Angela, sorry if there's some typos, by the way. Hey, Angela, it was great stopping by yesterday and sharpening your Cutco. I look forward to our next visit. Your order will be processed tomorrow. You should be receiving everything in about a week. Thanks again for going out of your way to introduce me to Jennifer Marine, Diana Barber, and Kathy. I'll be giving them a call in the next few days. If you want to drop an email to a few other friends as well, below is a common one my clients send out. Feel free to change anything. Hey, I just want to let you know I had a nice young guy named John Israel stop by our house the other day. He comes by our house once a year and sharpens our Cutco knives. If you haven't heard of Cutco, they are great. John is a just graduated from Gonzaga University, and the company pays him to show Cutco or sharpen it if you have any. I thought you might like to take a look since we've had our Cutco for a few years now and really like them. I just want to let you know that he may contact you in the next few weeks. If you have any major objections, just let me know, but I think you'll enjoy meeting John. Take care, Ann. So that's it. And then, you know, on below that, it says, thanks again for helping me towards my goal. And don't forget, free ice cream scoop. Talk to you soon. All right. Here to serve, John Israel. So there's several other versions of that email that you can kind of read later. But you guys kind of see a couple of things in there that were really important to say that if didn't get said, they might not happen. They might not get addressed. Like reminding them of the names of every person that they wrote down for you. The names of every person they were supposed to contact. And oops, maybe I forgot to call Angela, or maybe I forgot to call Beth. All right, so when they see that, it's a real good reminder. But if you notice in the beginning of the email, it's really just trying to be appropriate, be nice, thank them for their time, all right? Show genuine care for them. And talk about the email, have them send the email. In the email, even when I said, hey, if you want to drop an email to a few others, here's one my clients send out. So even people who you might not have written down, feel free to send this email out to them. That's totally cool. And they send that email out. You know, and here's the cool thing that happens is when they do that, just imagine this. What if every one of your customers sent an email out to just 10 people that said that? Just imagine if every customer said that to like 10 people. Do you think you'd get at least two to respond back? Oh, I've had Cutco for years. Or, oh, hey, I need some steak knives. Or, oh, hey, my knives suck. I totally need some new knives. Have them give me a call. I get those emails back from my customers all the time. All right. And this email, again, 21st century, this is going to be a great way for you to add extra referrals onto the business that you already have. Now, okay, this is all cool. I think we've kind of missed a step, though, right? We've gotten to being in the customer's house, and then we've gotten to sending them emails. Well, you know, how do we even go about getting the email address, right? Oops, forgot that part, right? So here's something I do. This is something I shared with everyone who was anyone in the 100K and above breakout or the CSP breakout? Okay, a couple people here. You got to hear this. This is something that I share with them that I think is worth its weight in gold. And if you do this when you go home, you know, I'll just throw this guarantee out there. Don't guarantee a lot, but I'll guarantee if you do this, you'll probably wind up generating at least an additional $3,000 to $5,000 in sales this year. So here it is. It's pretty simple. You're probably going to laugh at me for actually saying that this is new. But a lot of you guys do service calls. You get to go to customers' houses. You get all these wish lists. You get to talk to these customers, and you hear some cool things that you want to remember later, right? Well, here's something I did. About a year and a half ago, I started going into every appointment and being like, you know, I really wish I could remember to call this person later. I wish there was a system in which I could keep track of every customer I saw. And so what I started doing is I got a notebook. And what I did was on the very first page of the notebook, I would just write date, name, address, phone number, email. And when I start the appointment or right before I start into the demonstration or the sharpening, I say, oh, by the way, I just need you to fill this out real quick so I can keep track of all my appointments. Don't worry, your information is not going to anybody but me and sitting in that notebook. And that's it. And that's a great way to initially capture information, but here's how it goes. For those of you guys who have started doing service calls, here's a cool thing. You get them to do that, and then who started working home shows so far? Cool, a lot of you guys in the room. You guys know what it's like to be at the booth and to close a customer by using the carbon copy sheet. You know, you do the wish list, and then you write the price, and then you close. Well, the cool thing is you can write right below that person's name, address, phone number, email. You can do the wish list, and you can close right there. That's really cool. All right, nice benefit of that is let's say they don't buy everything. Let's say you do want to remember to call them in a year. You write that down, and you put it, and it has the date, too, so you remember that. Then what I do is on the back of that page, I flip it over, and then I do referrals on that. On the back of the same page. So it's like one referral notebook that winds up having everything. You know, I had a point where I had like three or four notebooks in my bag every time I would go to the office because I have, you know, my notebook for wish lists, I have my notebook for referrals. I had all these different things and it was all disorganized. You guys ever done that too, by the way? You run out, you're removing your referral notebook and you have them like write it on a scratch piece of paper and then it looks all ghetto and everything when you're doing phone time. So just do that. Try that out. Just try it out. Try it out for a couple weeks. See what you think. See how much more organized and how much easier it is for you to go and do your phone time after that. It is fantastic. And the reason why you can add a couple thousand CPO onto that is, let's say you do that. Let's think of this real quick. Let's say you get the referrals from that customer and you go over to that referral's house and you say, oh, by the way, this is what your friend Julie really liked and she didn't get this from her order. Just so you know, Christmas is coming up if you're looking for anything. Ooh, you guys like that? Cool. There you go. That paid for your conference. How do you guys like that? All right. Cool. So that's what we can do. That's how you can capture the information. That's how you can get the email address. That's how you can get all the contact info you need from that specific client. All right. Now let's go to, let's kind of backtrack a little bit. Let's go to when we're at the end of the appointment and we're getting the customer to, you know, give us permission to call and we're having them call their friends or we're having them send an email. And I'll go to the point where right after you ask for the names, right, they write down the people. And who's asking for, let me get an idea. You can just shout some numbers out. How many names are you guys asking for written down? 25? 500? I like that. 10 to 15,000? 10 to 15? All right, let me ask you this question. Who's got the most referrals they've gotten on one appointment? Just names written down. Who thinks they've got the most? 42, 65, 75. Tell me this. Now, of all those people, even just you guys can all think of this, what's the most number of appointments generated from one client that you've had that have actually occurred? 12. That's pretty awesome. 10. And then what? After that 10, then what's the next one? Do you remember? The next best number you had from that. Aside from 10, it was maybe 6. Okay, cool. And I'm not trying to batter anybody here, but I'm just trying to make a point. Because sometimes we go into referrals and we think that the best bet is like a shotgun. And we just boom, we shoot. All these bolts fly everywhere and hopefully something hits something. But what if you played this game like a sniper, not in a negative way. Try to understand what I'm getting at here. What if you just treated it differently? What if you just had your customers write down like 5 to 7? What do you think your customers are more likely to follow through on and actually making the calls, sending the emails? 5 to 7, 15 to 25. Yeah. And if you can consistently generate 2 to 4 actual appointments from that customer, that is results. That is results you can see. That is results you can measure. That is results that make your life a hell of a lot easier, your phone time a lot easier, and your customer's life a lot easier. So just think of that. Just let it sit with you. And just imagine how much easier it's going to be when you go in your customer's houses. Because I think initially we have this fear. It's like, oh, well, if I only get a couple, then maybe I'll only get 1 or 2 appointments, or maybe I won't get any. Well, you know, if you're doing it right and you really just do the program the way I'm sharing with you, it is not a problem. And for many of you who are on the Fair and Show program and you're getting those massive amounts of service calls to follow up on, just imagine if you can get every customer, every one of them, to send an email out to 5 people, you know? Just imagine that. Think of what your business could be like if you had that pot of customers to just pick, you know, pick the golden nuggets out, right? And you're going to get the best customers. And when you make that call, you guys are going to hate. If you ever got to go to the office in Santa Barbara and hear my phone time, it's funny. It's like, hey, this is John. I don't think we met, but your friend, Julie sent you an email about me. Yeah, totally. Did I catch you an okay time? Yeah, this is, I'm from Cutco. I think she mentioned a little bit about me. I was just calling to set that appointment up. I'm going to be in your neighborhood at this or this time. Actually, your friend Julie, I think you're friends with each other. Yeah, I'm actually going to see her at 2 o'clock. How about I see you later at 3:30? Is that cool? All right, see you then. That's it. Imagine that. Imagine what your phone time would be like. Imagine what your career would be like if that's all it was. Look at how many steps we have to go through, how much stuff we got to say to make us seem a certain way. When you can just be yourself and your customers talk about you and they talk about Cutco Cutco's a fantastic product. Just imagine what it's like when you can go in your career and you can be like that. You know, it is absolutely phenomenal. It is an amazing opportunity to sell Cutco that way. So essentially, that's it. That's all I got. I think we've got about 15 minutes, and I have totally time for questions. You guys have any questions, feel free to shoot them out. Cool. So the question was, what about having the customer write down a lot of people, but only having them call the, you know, like five of them? Well, my question is this: what happens with the other 10? Not like putting you on the spot, but like what happens with that? So you're kind of doing it as more of like a brainstorming activity, like letting your customer kind of write down a lot of people, and then you kind of get to pick. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Okay, that's great. So basically, what she's talking about is, you know, when you get the customer write down a bunch of people, cherry pick the best ones. Hey, that's a great idea. You know, hey, Mrs. You know, you qualify, you go through, you ask about the leads. And if you're not doing that, by the way, highly recommend you qualify your leads. But you go through, you qualify the best leads. And we get any of you guys in the phone room talk, the phone talk when I was on the panel, phone panel a minute ago. Okay, so you guys already hear me say this pretty much. So you get the customer to qualify the leads. And then you say, hey, by the way, if you were me, who would you see first? Who do you think would be the most likely to buy, or who do you think would be the most interested? You can be totally direct. And then they tell you, and you say, cool, well, hey, and then you do the yes approach, and you get them to make the calls to those people. Or even better, you get them to make the emails to everybody, and that's cool. You can do both of those. Oh, and by the way, here's the preface to that. In talking about email, here's how it goes. You know, you have them write down the people. They try to make a couple calls on the spot. That is the objective. They don't get a hold of everyone, or they didn't leave messages. I say, well, Mrs. Jones, do you ever talk to your friends via email? And they say, yeah, okay, cool. Well, I have this, you know, email one of my customers sent out. It's really cool. If you want to send it out to a bunch of your friends, it essentially just says, I'm a nice kid. I came over and sharpened your Cutco knives, and, you know, if they're interested, to let you know. And if I sent you that, would you be willing to send that out to all your friends? And then they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Because how much easier is that, man? What if they had to just type a little bit and just click and send it to 10 people versus, like, pick it up, click, pick it up, click, pick. I mean, that takes a lot of time. All right, it takes a lot of time to do that. Cool. Thank you. Next question.
What do you say when you hand a customer your coaching sheet?
The coaching sheet. Great question. So some of you guys have the carbon copy sheet you use, right? Raise your hand if you're using the carbon copy sheet. Let me get an idea. Half of you guys in the room. Raise your hand if you have no idea what we're talking about. Okay. The other quarter. All right. So here's how I do the here's what's to say sheet. And I do it very simple, all right? Some people use the carbon copy. I highly recommend it if you don't. What I do is I'll actually rip a sheet out of my notebook, and I'll just write, nice kid named John Israel stopped by, gets paid to show Cutco, don't have to buy anything. Is it okay if he calls you? And I hand them that, and I say, so when you give him a call, just make sure to mention this to him. My name's John Israel. I'm a really nice kid. I came over to show you Cutco. They don't have to buy anything. Is it okay if I give him a call? That's it. You don't have to sell me, Mrs. Jones. You don't have to ask if they're interested. And here's a key phrase. Because Mrs. Jones, most people I meet aren't really interested in knives, but they are interested in helping me out. So I appreciate you checking for me. Cool. Go for it. Gotcha. Prevention is better medicine than after the fact, right? It always is. So how do you, after the fact, do that? I'll be honest, it's difficult. I try to move on. Trying to think if there's much going on there. I mean, you can call and just say, hey, this is John. I came over to sharpen your Cutco, blah, blah, blah. You kind of make that connection again. You thank them for them helping you out. And then you can ask again, just be like, hey, I happen to be in your neighborhood, next week, and I'm looking to fill my schedule. I know you didn't have a chance to write anybody down, but was there anyone else that you think that, I should probably talk to? You could do that. It's a lot easier to handle that more in the appointment. You know, if they're starting to get kind of neg and they're not writing people down, you know, just try to feel them out and just be like, hey, you know, hey, totally, I understand if you're not comfortable. You guys live in a great neighborhood. I'm sure you want to keep that very safe. Just so you know, the only people I'm going to talk to is just whoever you talk to first. That way you keep all your friends, and I only see nice people who are expecting me. So if you just want to jot down their first names, talk to him first. Tell you what, I'll call you on Tuesday. Today's Sunday, right? I'll call you on Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. You going to be home at 6 o'clock? All right, I'll give you a call then. If you talk to all of them, great. If you don't, that just, you know, let me know either way. But hey, I really appreciate you doing that for me. And so you just really try and work on it when you're on the appointment. Just try and get them comfortable writing people down or get their mind open to that as a possibility. To answer your question? Yeah. Kind of, do you have anything else with that?
I guess it kind of goes hand in hand with it, just generating more leads from old customers.
Great. Okay. Generating leads from old customers. Okay, I'm glad you asked that. Two weeks ago, I did a service call during the push period. And I saw a customer, Mary Fleming, who, by the way, was a fourth-generation referral from a story I already talked about today, the lady who wouldn't give me any leads. And I went to go see her, and I said, hey, I was talking to her, and it's so funny when the culture shifts in the appointment, and you get there, and you're talking about it, and I'm talking, I'm like, hey, how's Joan Candy doing, by the way? Did she need her knife sharpened? She's like, yeah, you know what, I think she does. We were talking about that the other day. And I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, I know I've met a lot of your friends. Who else have I not met that I probably should? And then she's like, oh, have you met Mary Gore? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. She's like, oh, totally. Well, let me write her name down for you. And I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, if you could send her an email, that would be awesome. And then she's like, okay, cool. And then she sent an email. And that was it. Got another lead. So that's the way you can kind of do it. Get your customers comfortable sending the email out. Okay, it's a lot easier with the email thing. It just makes life a lot easier. Cool. Question in the back. Oh, yeah.
The fact that I've given him that coaching sheet, it's just like, what did you call and ask if they needed knives? I was like, yeah. I'm like, don't you remember the sheet? Like,
yeah, totally.
Are you more inclined to go for, like, the email instead of trying to get them to call, or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the great things about the email is that it's, again, it's just creating the introduction. That's all it is, you know? And by the way, one thing I will say on that email, if you notice on the bottom, it does give an opt-out. It's like, hey, by the way, if you have any major objections, let me know. And I've gotten emails from customers that say, oh, definitely don't call Julie and Joe. They weren't interested, but these people were. And actually, a friend from work said she wanted to talk to you too. Oh, okay, cool. Email's great. Everyone does email. Okay. Yeah. So how do you become more direct and more comfortable with your customers? First, you know, the answer you don't want to hear is it comes from practice. You know, one thing that I will say is that when I would do my referral approach, this is something I did that I think made a big difference to me, is I literally went home. This is when I was a newer representative, and I literally read the approach 20 times in a row by myself in my room, did it again. And then when I would go to every appointment, I would read it again in my mind. Like, I would just say it out loud, like while I'm going to the appointment. And you know what? It might sound stupid and it might be different, but if you really want to get extraordinary results in this job, you kind of got to do extraordinary things. Do things that other reps in your office aren't doing, and that's why you'll be that rep that is the top rep in the office. Because that's really where the results come from, is practice. So that and one little tip I did. You guys can hear a lot of really cool stuff from this conference. Something that I've done and I still do is I have a sheet that I wrote out, and I wrote like the 5 things I want to make sure I do on every appointment this summer. So I don't forget it. Like, you ever done that? You go home and you're like, oh, crap, I forgot to even tell them I'm in school, right? Or, you know, something simple. Like, you know, I actually almost made it through an appointment one time and forgot to sew the super shears. And I'm like, what's? So you look at your points of growth and you write the things you want to do. Like, make sure I ask with confidence. Make sure I ask for yeses on the spot. Make sure I ask for the email address. Make sure I go over the Henkels comparison. Simple stuff. Or things even like, hey, try this phrase out. Use this phrase on every appointment. And you guys have heard a lot of cool stuff and catchy phrases. You know, Hal Elrod gave a really cool close one time at a conference several years ago. And I still have that thing on my desktop, and I still read it once in a while because it's such a great close, and you have to refresh yourself over and over to really understand it and to become a professional. So, yeah, so practice, become a student.
When do you introduce recommendations? Do you, like, after the close or when you're ready to have the order?
Great question. Great question. When do you ask for referrals? Me specifically, I always used to ask after the order, and then what I found is it is so much easier right when you start writing up the order. Like you're pulling the sheet out, you're starting to fill it out. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Jones, there's one more thing you can help me out with, you know, and then you do the approach then. So, absolutely.
How do you offer them free Cutco without making it seem like you're bribing them to give you referrals?
Oh, you're going to hate the answer I have for that. This is great. All right. So this question was, how do you offer free Cutco without sounding like you're bribing? And so here's what I do. I use the ice cream scoop. You guys use a peeler. You can use cheese knives, whatever the heck you want. The important thing is, how does a customer respond to getting that for free? Would they be excited about it? Do they already have a sweet peeler from OXO, right, that they're stoked on? Whatever. We know it's going to break and wear out, and they're going to have to buy Cutco eventually. But the point is, you find what's their hot button. What are they excited about? I use cheese knives and ice cream scoops. Here's how I do it. I predominantly use the ice cream scoop. At the end of the appointment, I ask for the names written down, and I do this step before I ask for the yeses. I say, hey, oh, I almost forgot one thing, Mrs. Jones. Let me show you this ice cream scoop. And I, you know, put it on the table, and I say, can you grab me an ice cube? You guys all seen the ice cube trick? You guys all know? Okay, cool. Here's how you really do it to get the best effect. You have Mrs. Jones handy the ice cube. You set the ice cream scoop in front of her on the table. You drop the ice cube in there, and you walk away, or you turn away, and you start cleaning some more stuff up until you wait. Just wait. Silence. And you're like, Is it melting? How does it do that? And then they're like, what? How do I get that? And I'm like, oh, Mrs. Jones, I mean, you can always buy those if you want. They're $33, but just so you know, most of my customers get that for free for introducing me to a few friends. So I know you wrote down like five of your friends. If you talk to at least two or three of them who say it's cool for me to give them a call, I will totally give you that for free. Is that cool? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, hey, all I'm saying, Mrs. Jones, is I have no problem bribing people. All right, I say that, and they laugh, because it's true. I am bribing them to give me names, and they have no problem doing it. Trust me, they have no problem doing it. Sometimes you do the cheese knife. If they really like the cheese knife, that's a cool thing. And by the way, some of you might be wondering, well, you know, do you sell ice cream scoops? I avoid it at all costs. During the appointment, that thing is in the book, but it does not exist to me, okay? I'm going through the entertainer pack, you know, all the pieces. The entertainer pack isn't an entertainer pack. It's everything but the ice cream scoop, all right? Another tip with that, here's something cool. You can kind of put a twist with that. Oh, and by the way, you know, I give this for free to most of my customers who introduce me to a few friends. Oh, and in fact, I'm going to have one sent to you on your order for Julie because she recommended me to you and a bunch of her friends. Is that cool? Can you promise me to give that to her? Okay, cool. As long as I can trust you. And that's it, because then it's like, boom, social evidence. Everyone's doing this. Everyone does this. I even bought a bunch of ice cream scoops at a third for my manager, and then I'll give it to my customers on the spot sometimes if I have to. That's a pretty cool tool to use as well. All right, next question. Ooh, we got time for one more question. Actually, maybe even not. Let's see. Yes. Yes, because that's going to save a lot of time. If they just send the email out, it's going to save a lot of time. If you have any questions, you can ask me afterwards, but you guys need to go to your next breakout, and so do I. So have fun. Hope you learned some stuff. You guys have fun? Yeah. All right, go sell some knives.